Blog Talk Radio.
To this show. This is Stephen, webmaster for PetGroomer.com. Today is, for our timeline, October 22nd of the year 2017. Today we have with us someone that's familiar to a lot of people at Groomer Talk. We have Barbara Bird, and Susie Scott is with us as well. They co-host the Groom Pod, and we're going to be talking about the Groom Pod in just a few moments. First off, what's going on over at Groomer Talk? Right now we are giving away two cases of Green Groom, Bark to Basics, or Coat Handler. You get to mix and match, depends on just on how many you win. We've got three winners we're going to have, and one gets a case, and the other will split a case, and you can mix and match. Just show up at the board, post, and every time you post, you're entered in the contest. What else is coming up? Well, the busy season, the holidays. Everyone's going to have that. Looks like a great year this year. The word on the board is a lot of people are very close to already being booked up for the holidays. That's a great sign. And as part of that, we have Santa's cash bag, and that's cash like in currency cash. We've got up to $500 in the cash bag of Santa. All you have to do is come to Groomer Talk and guess. You can guess once a day when the contest opens of how much cash, down to the penny. He does carry change, it seems, but down to the penny. And if you guess the amount correctly to the penny, you get Santa's cash bag. And it is guaranteed to be all given away what's in there. Pretty nice number. There's a hint for you. And what else? We have the 7th Annual Metro Master Blaster High Velocity Dryer Giveaway. It will be also managed at Groomer Talk Radio on the message board. We'll have more details for both contests starting right after Halloween. First, we've got to get Halloween out of the way, and then we will be giving away lots more this year. And there will be new contests coming in January. So let's move on with our show today. As I said, we've got Barbara Bird with us and Susie Scott. Before I bring them online, let me tell some of our listeners that may not know who they are a little bit about them. I'll start with Barbara. She's been grooming since 1971, has owned her own salon for 40 years. She has become an icon in the grooming industry through her writing and educational seminars. In 2004, she started one of the first blogs for groomers. That's The Groom Blog, which has won 2 Cardinal Crystal Awards and 2 Barclay Honors Awards. She has made a significant contribution to the industry in the subject of understanding product ingredients, and she also authored the book Beyond Suds and Scent. She's an aromatherapist as well, and Barbara has created a line of essential oil blends for groomers that is distributed by Show Seasons. And with us, Susie Scott. She is a lifelong native of Greater Seattle with a thriving mobile grooming service for over 10 years. She left a life of corporate America and fell into grooming while working as a veterinary receptionist. In the veterinary setting, she gained skills in handling special need pets, which continues to be her central focus. With high energy and a bubbling personality, Susie has become a central figure in the Seattle region grooming community. She is an award-winning competitive groomer, ICMG, and media personality. And of course, together they co-host the Groom Pod, which we'll get to. But first, let me get them on the line with us now. I'm going to try opening Barbara. You're first on the list. Can you hear me, Barbara?
I hear you, Stephen. I'm here in Tucson, Arizona.
Okay, great. Let me get Susie on the line. Hold on. All right, Susie, are you there?
I'm here. Happy grooming, everybody. Hi.
Hi. It's great to have both of you with us today. I'm going to organize a show in this way that we're going to do. We'll talk a lot about the Groom Pod on the second half of the show. On the first half, I want people to get to know you guys a little bit better. I got Susie. I last spoke to you. I'll start with you. How did you and Barbara meet?
Well, actually, we met online on the original groomer email list that Curtis Hanby had put together. And we met in person at Atlanta Pet Fair doing a crazy early morning stretching and yoga class. And I knew that I was drawn to her online. And when I met in person, it was just electricity.
Excellent. I heard you did a skit between the two of you at Atlanta Pet Fair some years ago. Can you tell us more about that?
We did. We did Lucy and Ethel groom dogs at the grooming shop. And basically, it was really a discussion about ergonomic grooming. But as is our tradition, we tried to make it funny. And people are still talking about it today.
I bet. I wish I could have been there. It must have been great. Have you always wanted to be a grooming personality entertainer?
Yes. My background in school was fine arts, drama, and music, and I'm a dance teacher, and so entertaining comes naturally. And I was always trying to find my niche in the grooming world, and I think media personality is working out well for me.
So where does the teaching come in for you?
You know, as a teacher of dance, and I also taught sailing, it comes very naturally to me. And when I started to groom, I realized that there is just not enough education out there, especially when I started, which was like 18 years ago. There just wasn't enough education readily available. Only I didn't really want to give up my actual grooming business to teach because I so enjoy the grooming part. So I was looking for some way to become an educator, kind of got all the local groomers together, and we did some seminars here locally, but it just wasn't enough. You know, I was still looking for a little bit more. Although I did investigate running my own school, it's just not my thing. I don't like to be tied down that much. So the podcast has made it a great way for me to kind of fulfill that teaching need that I have.
Great. Yeah, I've helped quite a few people run schools, and that becomes that you're really bogged down there. You wouldn't have that flexibility. It's quite a task. Do a great job as a school director. Let me ask Barbara here. What adjustments have you had to make to your life in order to continue grooming into your 70s?
Well, I've had to make a lot of adjustments, and fortunately, they've come along kind of one by one over the years. But the first thing that I had to do was to teach myself to groom sitting down because I started to have foot and knee issues and back issues. And I remember one Atlanta Pet Fair several years ago where I had to rent a scooter to get around the Atlanta Pet Fair, and that was writing on the wall. But I did get past that back issue that was bothering me that year. But now I have crippled knees, a bad hip, and also trigger finger happening, which the trigger finger is very annoying while I'm grooming because my hands cramp and clutch, and I have to manually straighten them out and keep on. The other day it happened about 17 times during the day. There's good days and bad days with that. But I've had to, I first learned to groom sitting down, and then the next thing was to cut back my days. So I'm now down to 3 days a week. I have to groom with an assistant, and I have a great woman that works with me, and we team up on difficult dogs or lifting and that kinds of thing. So the two of us, she's also an older person, just turned 60, and Yvonne and I, we call ourselves the grooming grandmas. So there's just things that you have to do. You just have to cut this and work with that and take care of yourself. But it's been a real challenge, and what keeps me going is that I just I feel like I've just gotten really good at grooming. I don't want to stop now.
Exactly. So Barbara, what's driving you? What keeps that drive? What is it in you that keeps you driving on like that?
Well, there's two things. There's two things that drives me. One is that I love serving people, and the service aspect of the grooming, and I'm just so aware that what we do as groomers is so important to many of our customers, and that serving my community is the part that keeps me going on the grooming end of things. And the education end of things, I'm really very much driven by a need to make a difference. And again, I chose education because I also, there just wasn't enough available when I started in the business, and there wasn't even a book. And, I had to learn by an agonizing apprenticeship. So I am committed to making it easier for my fellow groomers coming along to get up to speed.
That's been a big theme, of course, in my family as well. I understand that. I remember we opened back in the 60s, and there was just really nothing. And I know my mother just wanted to focus on the business side of things, and really has helped a lot of people making it, as you say, making a difference. That can really keep you going. My mother did that all the way to the moment she passed. She was still helping people. So one of the things...
Go ahead.
Yes.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
No, if I couldn't make a difference, I would just shrivel up and die. You know, sometimes I think it's a real ego drive or an ego need. I just need to be greater than myself. You know, I need to do more, and I need to make a difference. And the groom pod makes such a huge difference for some people. So it just keeps me plugging away.
Exactly. Now, one of the things you're best known for, you've even shown some of that in the articles that you've written for our magazine, which are some of the most popular articles ever. You became very interested in product ingredients. Where did that come from?
Well, you know, Stephen, I had an epiphany. I had an epiphany one day while grooming, and I was using a product, a shampoo product that I had bought at the dog show, and so I thought it must be the greatest stuff ever. And I got down towards about a quarter of the gallon left, and I filled it up with, put some water in it, and I was amazed to find out that it went back to the original thickness. So I diluted the shampoo left in the gallon, and it returned to the original thickness, and I diluted that some more, and again, the product returned to the original thickness, and I wondered, how in the world does this happen? And it just sparked a curiosity that got me digging into the ingredients of our shampoos, and at the same time realizing that I had zero zip nada knowledge of what I was working with, the products are the foundation of our business, and I didn't even know what was making it re-thicken. So that just plunged me into the world of cosmetic chemistry.
And that would brings up a topic that groomers like to discuss occasionally, but you, again, have really led the way, and your opinion would matter greatly here. What do you think of the state of disclosure of product ingredient information today in our industry?
Well, I have some thoughts about that. I think that we've come a long way. We've started, movement has occurred. I think my first call to the industry to start disclosing more information about ingredients was about 06, and that's when I wrote the book Beyond Suds and Scent, and I started doing my first class was an online email group, and I taught that course. I taught a course, and it lasted like 6 weeks. But I think that there's been movement, but there's still a lot of cloak of secrecy, and it's getting kind of finessed as to how they what a lot of companies are doing now is they're making up labels and tech sheets that look like they're disclosing ingredients, only they're just kind of faking it and using broad terms like coconut-based, shampoo-based, or coconut-derived or naturally derived, and then just kind of broad terms that describe what a product is rather than really identify the actual ingredients. So there's a recognition that people are wanting more information about their products, and it's beginning to show up, and there's a lot of dancing around that's going on right now. So that's where I see us. We're in the label dance. Label dance phase.
Okay. Your book being Beyond Suds and Scent, scent implies to me that you also love aromatherapy. Can you tell us about your thoughts and uses of aromatherapy?
Sure. You know, aromatherapy comes from from another part of me, another side of me. It comes from my need for intuitive expression as well as there's a science to aromatherapy. There's a chemistry involved. So it's working my science mind at the same time that it's drawing upon my intuitive sense to combine essential oils and create a nice fragrance while I get a workable product to solve problems in the grooming shop. So it's just based at a different in a different place where I don't necessarily some of my blends that of my aromatherapy blends have been very intuitively put together, and then at the same time I've studied hard to learn some basic chemistry about aromatherapy. So I've been kind of fooling around with aromatherapy ever since I attended a seminar at the grooming show, industry show in Colorado in about 1990-something. So I've been kind of fussing with it for a long time, and about 10 years ago I decided that if I was going to make these mixtures that I should maybe share them as products, and that's what I did, and I hooked up with Show Season, Sandy at Show Season, and she's been happy to market and distribute my products.
Excellent. I actually enjoy it for myself. And my question then would be, is the blending that you're doing always for the benefit of the pets that you're grooming, or do you, is it also as much the way that the aromatherapy influences you?
It's for both. I have some blends. My best-selling blend by far is the Mellow Pet, and that's specifically developed in my grooming shop, working with distressed and nervous pet, and it's a calmative. And something that's going to calm the animals is also going to calm the people. So it's a, you don't have like extremely different effects, man to dog. If it's going to be energizing for a human, it's going to be energizing for the dogs. And I have, you know, I have various. It's like problem solving. I have a blend for mellow. The Mellow Pet is for calming the dogs. I also have Let's Groom, which is a an uplifting, energizing blend that is a good thing to use kind of at the end of the day when you hit the wall, just to kind of give a little flow again. I have a stress blend for when the groomers themselves get distressed and about to hit the edge, and so on and so forth. So I have a healthy shop that has now been renamed to Healthy Home Blend. That's for sanitizing the air, and it's also good for cold and flu season to kind of keep bugs from moving around in your workplace.
That's great.
So that's just the tip of the iceberg. But I like to work with both animal and people blends.
Yeah, I agree. You know, for some people, we all know the work of grooming can be stressful, an extreme need for continuous patience and all. And aromatherapy can make benefits happen for that. I'd like to Go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to tell you that I have one blend that I made into it comes in just a roll-on personal blend for groomers, and it came right out of my own experience, and it's called Anger Management. And I had a very passive-aggressive employee at the time that was just like driving me nuts, and it kind of forced me to blend something for my own anger so that I would handle it a little better, and then I developed it into a product. So that, you know, like I when I need something to myself, and I did one on anxiety. I developed an anxiety blend for moments like this when you're going to be on the radio or in the competition ring or something like that. So.
Sure.
It's all good.
Okay. I'm going to move on and let our people know more about the Groom Pod. I know some know, but there's probably quite a few people are going to listen to this that aren't real sure what the Groom Pod is. And I want to let Susie, I believe you're the show's producer. Can you tell us where did the idea of the Groom Pod come from?
Well, as you guys know, I'm a mobile groomer. And I spend a lot of time in my own head and also, excuse me, consuming a lot of audio media. I'm a multitasker by nature, so I always have something playing in the background kind of to keep me company. And I started to think about podcasting, and I knew that I wanted to do a podcast. I just wasn't sure what direction to go. So I searched for grooming podcasts, and yours popped up, and basically nothing else popped up. And I thought, maybe this is an area that's untouched. And so I started to formulate in my tiny little pea brain the possibility of doing a show and what would that show be like and what would I want to do with the show. And most importantly, who would I want to do that show with? So I ruminated and thought and bubblegum chewed on my brain the thought of, you know, doing the show. And really there was only one person that was going to be able to stand up to me as a co-host, and that was my friend and mentor, Barbara Bird, because more important than anything, I wanted to be entertaining as well as educational. I didn't just want to teach. I wanted to teach and also kind of be that other person in the room for the solitary groomers out there who live in places where maybe they don't have access to continuing education and who work in their own shops by themselves. And it's just them and the dogs, just like it's me and the dogs or me and the cats. There's nobody else there to talk to. So talking about grooming is one of my favorite things to do in the whole wide world. And doing it in a morning radio style, you know, where you're having some fun, you do some games, you talk about stuff, and you learn, and you kind of get to know people, I thought would be a great podcast. So I started to learn about production because I had never done any production, and how to edit audio and how to put a podcast up and where it would be hosted and all of that stuff. All of this, mind you, well before I ever told Barbara we were doing a podcast. I just kind of hoped she would go along with it. So it took me about 6 months to get to the point at which I was ready to call her or send her a text message. And I think I shot her a message and said, I have this great idea. Do you want to do a podcast? And Barbara said, oh, my goodness, yes, I'm all in. And that's kind of where the core of it started.
And go ahead.
I'm an interrupter. I'm sorry. I've been.
Yeah, that's okay. Go ahead. Go ahead.
The you know what sold me on the Susie's podcast idea is that she promised me we would have fun, and I knew immediately that we would, because Susie and I have a connection. Our senses of humor match. So we make each other laugh, and that's always, you know, and that's something that's missing for me when I'm sitting here alone with my computer writing blogs and stuff, and it's really hard for me to get my sense of humor into just writing technical material like I do. So I knew that we would have something special going if we did it together.
I'm a natural sidekick.
Yeah. Sounds like, absolutely. No, I think you both, I've listened to your show, and you compliment each other very well. And it is very important. Even any lecture should always be broken up with a little bit of humor. It actually, you know, you can get people too mental, and it brings them back, and why they're there, and brings them together. Now, it was always planned for the grooming audience. Is there any more particular breakdown of who that audience that you're trying to get to?
You know, it was more the groomer who's by themselves or the couple of groomers in a shop. You know, that their hands are on the dogs, their head is in the game. Throw on those Bluetooth headphones, listen to the groom pod, and it's like camaraderie, you know, companionship and education, talking about things that, well, you know, like when you say anal glands are a thing that only groomers get. Well, vet gets it too, but groomers get it. Nobody else gets it. So talking about stuff like anal glands and ear hair pulling and breed profiles with people, even though we're not having a conversation directly with the people we're talking to, Barbara and I still get to play off each other. And it's, you know, it's just comforting, and it's good because so many groomers are out there just in their shops by themselves, and they never get out, and they don't network, and it's so important to network. So that's kind of my focus. Anyway, that was our focus, I think.
So how do you two organize the shows and say, this is going to be the topics? Where are the topics coming from?
Well, we kind of hatch them the morning of the show. Sometimes we get an idea during the week, you know, that we'll want to cover something. But it is very, very spontaneous. most of our topics come directly off of our Facebook discussion group, which is facebook.com/group/thegroompod. We have got a spectacular community of groomers there where we can interact with them. We can ask for questions. People know they can just put questions up there and we'll answer them on the show. And it's a very personal way to get to know our listeners and a very easy way for our listeners to get in contact with us.
Great.
May I?
Yes, go ahead, Barbara.
I think that the connection between the podcast and the Facebook page is really important to the success of the show because having that, I mean, and I'm sure that you understand this with your connection to PetGroomer.com, that when you have this readership or this listenership that is interfacing with you, you know you're on target. You know that you're providing information that's of value to the listener, and it's so interactional. I mean, sometimes we just whatever's been asked, there are some questions that you can ask, you can answer right on the Facebook page, but then there are other things that kind of cause you to want to dig deeper, and you can take that topic and then use it. And we also have the show divided into certain kinds of segments, so there's certain types of topics that are going to fit into each segment. I have a definition du jour every week, which is my opportunity to do some technical education, and I can either pick an ingredient or a type of ingredient, like what's a quaternary ammonium compound. I can explain that and how it's used and where it might show up and what it does and how to recognize one when you see it on an ingredient list if you're that lucky. And so every week I have a really educational moment of my own that I can create. But sometimes we're very improvisational on the Groom Pod.
We also pull stuff from current events. You know, we read and talk about things that are happening right away. We talk about important things in the industry. We have great sponsorship. It's just a whole lot of fun and a way we can cover stuff that, you know, that we all want to talk to but really have no way to talk to each other about. The daily stuff, the stuff that happens every
yeah.
week, the stuff we do in our shops, in the grooming industry, in the world. So, yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Kind of bite-sized.
So where do you see the show heading in the future?
We want to grow and grow and grow. So, you know, we've got our listenership right now about 2,400 weekly subscribers. But our goal is to, of course, you know, Groomer to Groomer magazine, I believe, has something like 30,000 groomers subscribed. I want that. That's what I want.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
And I want to stay on the cutting edge of the technology. What we have done already is that we've tied the Groom Pod in with my webinars. And so I kind of semi-retired from webinar presentations because something was missing. And what was missing from my webinars was Susie. So now, true, you were saying, it's so hard to deliver an hour or a two-hour webinar to an invisible audience. But when I do it together with Susie and we're on camera and we're interacting at the same time that I'm delivering a PowerPoint, it just brings it so much more alive and in the moment. So we're back to doing monthly webinars. We just did a free webinar that was hugely successful on one of the bacterium that's most problematic in the grooming shop. And we gave that one away and immediately 120 some people signed up. So that was a big success. And then I shared the link to the recording, so that's going around the grooming community now, and more people, groomers are having a wake-up call about disinfecting the grooming salon. So that was a kind of a public service free webinar. That's an interesting dimension to add to our education, and but I want to see us do some live video. I want to see us to have some YouTube content. I just want to stay on the wave.
Excellent, and I want to see you do that as well. We'll do our best to continue to get the word out about the Groom Pod. Now, what we should do at this point is I'd like to have one of you tell our listeners, where do they go to listen to? What are the multiple, whatever ways? This is your moment to please get the word out to them.
That's Susie's job.
That's my job. So you can find us at, our discussion group is at facebook.com/groups/thegroompod. And you can find all of our Groom Pod related stuff on our website at www.thegroompod.com. You can subscribe to the Groom Pod on Stitcher, on iTunes, on Google Play, on pretty much any podcast consolidator that you use. You can just throw it up in a Google search. Also, will pop up that way. And the easiest and best way to do it, though, is to subscribe. So if you listen to podcasts, go in and click the subscribe button, and then when we download the podcast, then it'll just pop up in your feed. You can also find it on Facebook. I post it all over the place, everywhere. I'm probably a little annoying about posting it on Facebook. And all of the archives, we've got 137 shows out there, and about 107 of them are up currently right now. And we're going through the archives, putting up the old shows too. So there's lots of good content out there. Some of it better than others. We definitely have grown as time has gone on, but it's all out there at www.thegroompod.com or anywhere you can find podcasts.
Great. Let me just add to all the listeners that if you forget any of this information, always remember we have a link to the Groom Pod on the homepage of petgroomer.com. Just go to petgroomer.com. You will find links to other sponsors and other personalities doing things for the industry. So the Groom Pod is there as well. Just follow that.
Boy,
link.
What a crappy interview I am. I completely forgot to mention your website. Thank you so much for having us on, by the way. Thanks.
Well, I want to thank you, too. And I'm just my whole mission when I saw my mother retire after all the years is the grooming was good for us. She would always say that. Grooming industry has been good. We're very happy with our careers in it. But we all knew that it could be uplifted for our reputations in the industry. And the whole purpose of PetGroomer.com is really not to be everything, but to cover everything, but to point people in directions where to go get more information about whatever it is. It's like anything grooming. And you have done a lot of the same efforts into what you're doing. So we're just fully behind you here. And I want to thank both of you for being who you are in the industry and for being on the show today.
Well, thank you. It's always fun. Invite us anytime.
Okay,
yes, we'll be back.
Just
snap your fingers.
Okay, Barbara, Susie, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. Bye, groomers.